Welcome to the first Binary Jazz of 2020. And the first Binary Jazz of the 2020s. I'm Chris, that's Gary, and this is Allison, and we do a show that's about things. I was thinking this morning, I was wondering if whether we'd be doing this in 10 years, whether we'll have a 2030 episode. And we'll be like, wow, decade in review. How many things did we actually learn in 10 years?
Will podcasting be available in 10 years?
Probably. I don't know.
I want to say I hope so.
Some corporation is going to figure out some way to own it entirely. And it will be too expensive for people like us. The podcast. I just, as I'm talking, I'm realizing that I have like a Grinch hand over my head right now.
Yeah. I didn't want to point that out. I thought that was like your vibe.
It's definitely playing to the vibe. Yeah.
It's fair. Let's talk about the Grinch for a minute.
I think that even if our podcast has gone by the wayside, we should get together and just do a really random release episode in 2030.
Okay.
It's fair.
But just pretend as if nothing has happened.
Set a reminder to record Binary Jazz on January 1st, 2030. Holy shit, it worked.
They're like, yes, you will have this watch for the rest of your life.
It's in my Apple system. Whatever Apple thing I'm on, it'll be added to all my things. I did this last year, something like that last year. My kids were playing the game Jinx. You know, if you say something at the same time, you say Jinx, you can't talk. And it was getting out of hand. So I put a one-year ban on Jinx in my house. And they're like, how will you know when it's a year? I said, I'll put it in my watch. So I did. And my watch misunderstood me. I said, remind me about Jinx in a year. And it said, I will remind you about drinks in a year. So sometime in August, my watch is going to be like, don't forget about drinks.
Remember drinks.
So that's cool. We do an annual Christmas party that's like a cookie party at our house.
Everybody brings cookies. Legit.
Isn't that awesome?
I'm down with a cookie party.
It's great. So some years it's been wilder than others. Some years we've had like gingerbread houses and kids decorating them and drunk adults helping. And so there's like, I find like gumdrops stuck to my wall when we're done. Like it's a pretty crazy party. I'm not exaggerating. Like it's wild. It's the day of the year when the kids are allowed to eat like anywhere. We have hard floors, so like their bedroom, like, well, just hopefully find all the crumbs and vacuum them up. And you know, I mean, it's kind of
because the adults aren't going to be watching out for themselves.
apparently not. Well, it's kind of mayhem. And so you know, some years we've had as many as like 40 people in the house, and it's, you know, which means it's like standing room only, and people are going in the garage getting beer out of the fridge, and we have, you know, spiked hot chocolate or other drinks, and people that don't have to drink. It's just a fun, silly time, and we usually schedule it for 2 hours, and usually people are here until midnight. You know, it's good. It's a good time. It's a party. Anyway, the theme this year was the Grinch, so that's why there's a Grinch hand behind my head. We haven't taken it down yet, but there's also like a Grinch on the wall where the kids did pin the heart on the Grinch, blindfolded. There were like little Grinch, like the tags that said like what the different finger foods were like little Grinches. My son built the stands for them out of Legos. And the nice part is you bring cookies and we put out bags so you can take like all sorts of cookies with you. So it's not about like eating all these cookies now. So you take cookies home with you. And this year we usually have like a silly amount left. This year we only had a couple bags left. I mean like gallon sized bags of cookies. I mean years past it's like, oh, we need to go find somewhere to give these cookies to because there's no way we'll eat them all. And I think we only have like a few. It's been good this year, not as many. But so that's the cookie party.
What's the most interesting type of cookie that showed up?
You know, I don't know this year because I was apparently drunk. I was entertaining. I don't know what the most interesting time was this year. Maybe, you know, my sister-in-law did this thing with Ritz crackers dipped in chocolate.
Mm.
That All right. had something in the middle. I don't remember what. We like to make, I think we've talked about the apple ginger cookies that my kids like. Mm-hmm. They're vegan. And so those are always popular. I took those to our local WordPress meetup, and I always like put those cookies out. I'm like, oh yeah, enjoy the apple ginger cookies. And then like after they're half gone, I'm like, oh yeah, they're vegan. Like I wait to drop that, you know? And like people are like, hey, send me the recipe. I don't really know it. It's, you know,
put a bit of this,
molasses,
bit of that.
It's apple, some other stuff.
I rarely tell people my cookies are like vegan or gluten free unless somebody like asks because they have some sort of need. Because otherwise, I'm like, look, it's a cookie. I brought cookies. That's all you need to know.
I really like doing it after people have eaten some and they're like, oh, these are great. Like, I don't usually like fruit cookies. And that's when I like to kind of drop the
zing them.
Oh, yeah. And they're vegan. Yeah. And then it was always like, comes the question, like, are you vegan? No, these are just damn good cookies, is my answer. Like, I feel like it's like, you know, I don't know.
That's their title. It's not even apple ginger cookies. It's no, they're damn good cookies.
Oh, I should that's what the recipe should say. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a tradition. We have a, annual Korea buffet based on the Bridget Jones Diary turkey Korea buffet that they do on New Year's Day.
Oh, nice.
We decided we needed a New Year's Day tradition. We did it early this year because my parents are here this week. Mm-hmm. So we did it Saturday because they – maybe we did it Sunday night. And yeah, we did it Sunday night because we were getting home on Saturday. So much like Bridget Jones' Diary, where she, you know, her mom invites everybody even remotely related to them, we invite zero people. And it is a curry buffet for just the four of us.
I was about to be like, wait, but. All right. I mean, I can get behind this. This whole idea has me written all over.
Yeah. Thought you'd appreciate. It's also not a turkey curry buffet, and we don't make it. We go to an Indian or get takeout from an Indian place and kind of set it out and say, try all the things.
It's the all the things that's the most important part.
Yeah, we got like five different curries and then we got some pakoras and samosas.
Nice.
Since coming back from Sri Lanka, I've decided that pakoras are my favorite Indian you know, Southeast Asian sort of like appetizer food. As it used to be samosas because that's the thing, but like I had pakoras in Sri Lanka and they're amazing, and I was like, that's all I want now.
Yeah.
How long do the leftovers last?
When we leftovers?
Get, yeah, not very.
Yeah.
I mean, since we got more stuff for the annual Korea buffet, we still have like a little bit of dal left that I will probably have for lunch today. But normally we have like maybe the next day's lunch worth when we get Indian stuff, and like the next day's lunch worth for like me and Aaron. Like there's not usually very much left.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I feel like I'm eating leftovers. What is today? Today's the second. I feel like I'm eating leftovers from like the 21st.
That's the thing too. Since my parents have been over, we've been getting food out a lot. So we've got like a fridge full of like stuff that we have gotten at various places over the last week.
Incidentally, ringing in the new year the right way. Now we've talked about food. I am hungry. I will be eating after we finish.
Our topic.
Like, I wonder what leftovers are still out there. Yeah.
Topic today is what did you?
Oh, did you intro week? How this show works? I don't remember.
No. It's 2020. I'm just gonna YOLO it.
Okay. Who knows? I don't even know how this show works, to be honest.
Something clarity of vision. Love it. Something. I think I mentioned I was going to make like vision jokes all year long, and then I realized after I said that, like, I'm not going to put a lot of effort into them either. So they're going to be half-ass vision jokes all year
Excellent.
Long.
That's good.
Yeah.
All year?
Oh, you wouldn't want whole-ass.
I mean, it's 2020 jokes. All year. So, or at least until I forget about it, whichever comes first.
So mid-February.
Probably, yeah, I was going to say probably about 3 months.
Like, January 9th to be done. Next all episode. Right.
You said.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, whatever.
Is this the part? Is this a topicless episode?
Ooh. No, we can have a topic.
We can have a topic. Okay. So, wait. Oh, I lost my tab. Doop. Okay. The topic this week is Amida or Amida. I might be adding a bit of Spanish flair to it. But I like Amida. So we're going to go with that.
Amida.
A-M-I-T-A.
Amita.
Oh. It is a kind of nut.
A kind of nut. The Amida nut. It grows on the Amida trees.
Where does it fall in the hierarchy of nuts? Like cashew macadamia level or?
It's softer, sort of like a pecan, right? But an easier shell to get into.
An easier shell.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you're not gonna bare hand a pecan, you know?
Well, the only shell I really deal with nuts is usually just peanuts or pistachios. Everything else is like
shelled, yeah.
Pre-shelled. Except for walnuts. I guess around Christmas time, sometimes walnuts are floating around.
You don't have that maybe this is fun. You don't have that like random bowl of nuts that's hanging around your house around this time of year?
We had a random like Costco container of nuts that we've been hanging on to for I don't know how long, and we put it out yesterday because we had Aaron's parents and my parents came over, and so we're like, oh yeah, nuts, they don't go bad. But they've been sitting in the plastic container for like 2 years, so like they're a little bit not good. Aaron tried a few and like, yeah, this is going in the trash. We did have the random bowl of nuts, and then we tossed it in the trash because they were bad.
Because they were no good.
We put out different nuts.
Okay.
The Amida nut.
I remember growing up.
The Amida nuts.
Yeah.
Amida nuts are the backup. House,
there was like a bowl and like a nut. What do you call it? The nut
cracker.
Cruncher thing? I don't know. Cracker. That's a good word for it. Oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. Yes, it's a nutcracker, obviously.
I was so like,
the nutcracker's laying next to it, along with like a metal pick that looks like a surgical implement, and that just was always at my grandmother's house. I assume the nuts were out year-round, but apparently they're not. It's like a holiday thing because they were not there year-round. We don't do the nuts, and I don't know that anybody, I've seen any of them, any other ones, like, hanging around since she passed, but I always just thought it was just like a thing that like just, I don't know, as an adult, like you just went to the store and you got your nuts and got your nutcracker and your surgical implement and just set them out for a month. I assume they were always there. I don't know. I don't know what I thought, but anyway, pecans are a pain in the nuts. It's a shell. I don't know.
He said, I'm still back on the idea that there's a better word for nutcracker than nutcracker. They're like, no, it's too civilian. We need to make it a
fit in the nose. Well, I could see me asking for the nut cruncher if I was trying to open them, you know? Hey, hand me the nut cruncher. I can't get into this pecan. This pecan.
So the Amida is a it's a
native, oh yeah, there's a topic.
It's a Native American tribe. Ranged from what is currently Illinois to Montana, sort of a Midwestern tribe. And
with the range.
Yeah. And they so there is a town in somewhere called Amitaville. And Amitaville is notable for its annual hauntings, for the Amitaville murders. Where the tribe of
Indians, I feel like I would have heard about this.
The tribe of Native Americans were killed in some battle with Western traveling pioneers.
It's a stark tale of reality, really. Yeah.
DMT. What did you say the name of the town was?
Amitaville.
Okay. I could hear Jimmy Buffett in my head when you said that for some reason, and I like uncomfortable, and I couldn't figure out why. Amitaville makes sense.
Yeah.
It's no less uncomfortable, but it makes sense.
It's the only Jimmy Buffett song I can name.
Yeah. He's pretty popular around these parts. Like,
old people in Florida like him. From there?
I don't know. I mean, he's lived around here, not around here, but the Keys at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
I think now he lives in like a chain of crappy hamburger places internationally.
That's probably accurate. Yeah. Amita.
It's about 3 feet. Amita. Oh, that was so satisfying to see your faces like, crap, this guy.
Oh. I can't follow that up with anything.
Amita. Amita.
We're going to have a lot of fun in 10 years.
Amita.
But what if we haven't spoken in like 5 years? What if there was some sort of drastic fallout and then we're like, oh, we have to do the reunion show?
I don't know.
It'll be okay.
I'm not really a big drastic fallout person, are you?
Well, the fallout would be if, listen to this though, what if Chris gets chosen to go to space? And you don't.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Shh, Chris.
I would support Chris happily. I would be sad for myself, but I don't think there'd be any fallout from it. I'd probably harass him for like details on everything.
Attack.
You'd be FaceTiming all. You'd be FaceTiming
like,
the space.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. FaceTiming the space station all the time.
Yeah, we'd be FaceTiming from the space station. Yep. And this is where we do the thingy with the other thingy. So we ran out of stuff to watch when we went up to the Pacific Northwest to visit Aaron's family. So we started watching.
So you watched For All Mankind?
No, we didn't, because we don't have Apple TV Plus thing. So we started watching Documentary Now on Netflix.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so.
It's only a few episodes, though, right?
It's like 10 a season, and there's like 3 seasons. So we got through season 1, and I think we're like most of the way through season 2 now. The fallout reminded me of the episode that they do. Is that the one where they're the crappy 70s band. So it's basically like a parody of every like one-hit wonder 70s band ever. And then there's like, you know, the one guy wants to get more money and do more, like, you know, get bigger. And the other guy is like, no, I just want to make music and I don't want to like sacrifice our values or whatever. And they have this big falling out on stage and then they never talk to each other until they're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's the first time they actually talk to each other. And it's incredibly awkward. And the one guy has like, he owns all the rights to everything to the band. So he like has made like wine coolers that are themed after the band. And so he gives the other guy a 4-pack of the wine coolers as a like, hey man, here. And
little peace offering.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think being a one-hit wonder might be the worst thing in the world. Right. Like, especially if it's a song that's sort of like not your core style, because it's obvious that like people heard your other stuff and were like, oh, so probably your one hit is not your core musical voice. Yeah.
So we're also watching Battlestar Galactica again. Now when we got home, we started watching BSG. And now that one dude that plays Gaius Baltar, I don't know his name. I just know him as Gaius Baltar, but he also is in Bridget Jones' Diary. And his character in Bridget Jones' Diary is a musician who did one hit wonder, and his big thing is like he's only performed one song that's popular, and he's milking that fame for as much as he possibly can. So anytime, so people go, "Hey, are you that guy?" He's yes, yes. No plans to record anything else. So unless you're Gaius Baltar.
That's, That's an interesting point. I realized I did not take into account the role capitalism would play in squashing any artistic integrity to ride that song to death. So,
who's your favorite person that's like considered a one-hit wonder?
Jimmy Buffett.
But like he goes to plays shows of entire albums, and I can't
entire
name any
song.
Of them.
Yeah.
Do you mean favorite artist who is a one-hit wonder who I appreciate for their one hit, or favorite artist who is a one-hit wonder but I appreciate their entire back catalog?
Well, I originally meant the first one, but now I'm interested in the second one.
Because I have several that fall into the second category.
Where you're like, no, I mean, you're the person that likes Tin Machine, and you're like, David Bowie's okay.
Well, no. I mean, I do like Tin Machine, but I wouldn't say David Bowie's just okay.
Yeah.
So Space Hog, one hit wonder for Meantime, in the meantime. Harvey Danger, one hit wonder for Flagpole Sitta, which is... falls into your category, Gary, of like, this song sounds nothing like anything else they do.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I'm sitting here going like, I don't know if I can name any one-hit wonders, but okay, keep going. I'm along for the ride.
Okay, so what else is a one-hit wonder? Those are the two that pop up most easily, if I can think of that.
There has to be a one hit wonder playlist on Spotify, right?
Oh, definitely. It includes ELO. I Wish.
Aha is also a really good one hit wonder band, because everybody only knows Take On Me, but that entire album is freaking awesome.
Ooh, I should go listen to that.
Sun Only Shines on TV. I mean, come on.
This is a 3 hour and 6 minute 48 song playlist. I feel like this is not complete.
No. Okay, so favorite one-hit wonder as a one-hit wonder.
The Safety Dance, Men Without Hats.
That's not
dance
on my
if
list.
You want to.
Oh, Men at Work. That was a good album too. We come from a land down under. Yeah, that was a good album. Favorite one-hit wonder as a one-hit wonder is probably I Want Candy.
Oh.
Because I could go Yeah, there's just too many other bands that I can name. No, but there's other songs besides that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, Amoeba,
this has got some fun things on it. Chumbawamba Tub Thumping. What is it?
Amoeba is another word for a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's actually.
I wonder what it really means.
It's actually what one-hit wonders were called before they were called one-hit wonders. Amoeba. Yeah.
Just Amoeba.
Is it a food?
No, it's not a food.
Okay. But I'm interested in this one-hit wonder playlist. You'll have to share it with us, and then we can share it on the show notes.
I'll drop it in.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering.
Drop it on the line.
I'm kind of wondering how much of my music taste is just one-hit wonders.
This is not. I feel like we could do a much better job than this.
Well, we've already named five bands.
I know. And when you say we, you mean you, and we're very proud of you and supportive of that.
You're right. I didn't really mean we. I meant the corporate.
The real we, meaning Chris.
But I was talking to someone once, and they referred, they were talking about Madness, Our House, and they were saying, but in a very one-hit wondery sort of way, and I was like, Madness had a bajillion albums and tons of other songs. And
yeah, Thompson Twins could probably fall into that category too. And
it was just the I don't know.
That's just the song that you've heard though.
Yeah, and but I was like, but I'm pretty sure there were other songs that were hits to the public as well. So I was like, it's not just me that likes Madness.
What about I think the best one hit wonders are the ones that I can name the song but not the band. Who did One Step Beyond?
Oh, that's Madness.
Okay, never mind. Totally, that they're totally illegit and not a one hit wonder.
They're disqualified.
See, in my head I thought they did, but then I was like, that's not them.
I'm almost positive. Now I'm second guessing myself. No, it's Madness.
No, you're right.
It's Madness.
Yeah. It just doesn't sound the same as Our House, and so it doesn't. Yeah.
Amita.
Amita.
Should I do the grand
reveal? It's a piece of fish. Not the whole fish, just a piece of it.
Just
the Amita. It's like right under the dorsal fin.
Right. Oh, I thought it was behind the gills.
I would. It's like absurd and yet exactly the kind of thing that I would bring to the table. So I can't argue too much with that. Amita is your father's sister. It's Latin.
I think Allison is guessing, and she knows the topic. This does not bode well for her.
This is my sister.
She's like, I just found the word.
And this is my other sister, Amita.
Because I was looking into words for family members, because like nibblings is one. It's like the gender neutral term for nieces and nephews.
Nibblings. Okay.
Wait, is this like an honest answer?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. I thought you were like getting in on the guessing with us.
No, nibblings is like a thing. Amita is your father's sister. So like, for because I was trying to find...
Your paternal aunt.
Yeah. Because I was trying to find... I was looking up stuff for nieces and nephews, and then I was like, oh, that's funny. So like, for my brother's kids, I'm the Amita, which I thought was kind of funny. So I was just like, maybe we can like trick them into thinking that's my name.
or that your name is Allison Amita.
Yeah, just being like, that's a thing. I don't know. I just thought it was
funny.
Amita Allison.
Yeah, Amita Allison.
You could be anonymous. Aunt Amita.
Aunt Amita. Just like,
I'd go with it.
I think it's interesting because that and Old English have really specific family tree, like hierarchy for aunts and uncles and stuff like that, but then we chose to use the French version, which are just like, it kind of loses the lineage, which I thought was interesting. I don't know.
Let me say this. This is peduncle level topic today. Very well done.
In a good way or a bad way?
Oh no, in a very good way. I'm sitting here somewhat flabbergasted and I have learned a thing. So
I won't bring too many like Latin terms to the table because I realize you could just go down that rabbit hole, but I thought this one was cool.
I mean, we almost always go down that rabbit hole anyway.
Yeah. And
it doesn't matter if it's Latin or not. We're still going to make something up that's Latin.
Basically just realize most things in my life aren't applicable to most people's lives. And well, now to the Allison questions.
We do have Allison questions. Yeah. I was going to go through those. This one is from November 25th in the last decade.
Who knows what I was thinking back then?
Yeah. Way to hang on to that one, Chris.
Yeah, I know. We've been holding back. What time being told no inspired you the most?
Huh.
I have one that's not when I was told no specifically.
No. The dog's like, I don't know what's going on.
Dog does not feel inspired.
I wasn't told no specifically. But when I worked when I did tech support for Albertsons for their stores, I went out of my sort of jurisdiction and got help on a Unix problem from like some dudes in a IRC channel that I hung out in that was totally unrelated to work, and as a result of solving that problem with their help, I was called by the tier 3 lead guy, a cowboy, and for a very long time it really pissed me off because I felt like I'm never gonna be tier 3 now because that's what he thinks of me, and B, like, why the hell am I a cowboy when I actually got the job done and fixed the thing? Like, it's not the way that it's supposed to be done, but I fixed the problem and that's what we're here for. Like, you know, otherwise it wasn't going to get solved. And then eventually over time, I decided to just own that and make it like you know, a good thing, like repurpose that label and like, yeah, okay, so I'm a cowboy, and I guess cowboy means getting shit done when no one else will, or in a way that no one else is able to do. And like, just like, sure, I'll be a cowboy. And that also partially inspired me to leave that fucking job because it sucked. So, yeah.
That's the most important part.
That all makes sense. Ugh, cowboy.
Yeah. Cowboy is a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, you're out there in the Wild West.
I mean, I was. Ain't nobody else going to help me.
Yeah, I was just listening to some song earlier about... Oh, how did it go? I need to dig that back up in Spotify in a little while. It was a very strange song. I'm not really sure how I ended up in my ears, but it was like when a cowboy dies. I need to find this song. It'll be the gem for the day.
It was the one-hit wonder. Must be if you can't name the song or the artist.
I've never heard it before in my life until today.
Sometimes the algorithm brings us.
I was like, oh yeah. Well, and I break the algorithm a lot by doing silly things, you know? Like, I'm like in this whole Americana kick, and then I'm like, oh, but Katie got this weird Bluetooth microphone for Christmas, so let's throw in, like, some really zany kid songs by, you know? And then we start mixing artists. I tend to break the algorithm with really silly decisions.
Yeah, I'm curious what my Discover Weekly playlist will be next week, because I decided on like Tuesday I wanted to listen to Public Enemy, and usually my playlist is like sort of like electronic alternative, like indie electronic stuff, like Churches and stuff and stuff that sounds like Churches basically, so, but like that kind of vibe combined with Public Enemy will be, yeah.
Could be a good mix.
When a cowboy trades his spurs for wings.
Wait, say again?
When a cowboy trades his spurs for wings.
So when a cowboy dies.
Oh, wow.
All right, Gary, what time being told no inspired you the most?
I'm sorry, I started that song again. I missed part of what you said.
What part? What time being told no inspired you the most? What part of this sentence did you not hear?
Yeah, fair. I don't know if anything really pops to mind, to be honest with you.
There's never a time when you like.
I'm certain that
we're told you can't be a programmer, and then you said, "Fuck you, I'm going to be a programmer."
No, because I think in my head I convolute a lot of me telling myself no with the rest of the world telling me no. So I don't know that anything really stands out. Like, I'm my own worst public enemy. That's right. So. In all seriousness, I am my own worst critic, so I really
has
feel
that
like
ever inspired
like,
you to like I'm
no
gonna
it usually
myself
ends
wrong.
And I'm like, boy, that guy Gary is an idiot after I do it successfully. So instead of the takeaway being like, you were wrong, the takeaway is like, you dumbass, you said you couldn't do it. Like, it's, yeah, it's the inverse of what it, I don't know. I
no but
I
sometimes
know.
We do
I kind of
sometimes we do things to prove ourselves wrong. At least I do. Like, I was like, I got my ears pierced just to prove to myself I could. Like, that's ridiculous. Who cares? Nobody cared but me. And nobody was telling me no.
I mean, I think it comes to mind are like a lot of work situations, but ain't all about that whole capitalist thing anymore. So. Those aren't worth mentioning.
I like to pretend that you've just been in an incredibly nurturing environment. No one said no so much as guided you.
I mean, I'm a white American dude, so that's probably not far from the truth, right? I mean.
That's fair.
Valid.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't think of any situation where someone said no, that I've been like viscerally reactive, like, I'm going to show you, more like, all right, well, I'll show you.
I definitely did in my teenage years. Like,
See, I
did over stupid things in my teenage years.
I feel like I was told no a number of times in my teenage years, and then I just took it to heart and didn't do those things.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be a writer because you can't make money being a writer. Okay, I won't be a writer. You can't be an actor because nobody ever, like, it's really, really hard. You won't get parts and whatever, so okay, I won't be an actor. Like,
you can't drop out of college is probably one. You can't drop out of college because you won't be able to get a good career.
Like, oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Inspires you to drop right. out. I mean, I don't know that inspiring you to drop out of college.
I was out the door.
You did, you know, fairly well. Anyway.
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm good. I'm happy. Yeah. 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 Out of curiosity. My life has actually settled down out of college. Yeah.
What year did you drop out?
2000 and...
No, like when in the...
Oh, I was a junior.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, my junior year. Yeah.
I always sort of imagined that it was earlier, like your sophomore year or something.
No, I made it for 2 full years and then the first semester of the next year and was like, this ain't for me.
It would have been amazing if you were like 1983 and we'd all be like, how old are you?
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.